hour number two of this Monday edition of the Hagman Report. Joe Hagman here, and my father Doug Hagman was here with us in the first hour, and John Robertson is filling in for him now. He's going to be with us for the, through the end of the show, and we got Augusto Perez as our guest. He's going to be on with us through the rest of this hour. TheAppearance.com is the website, and we were talking about Augusto's last appearance with us about 5-6 months ago, where he talked about his experience, how he was shown Donald Trump and the similarities to Cyrus, the biblical figure who not only was in power when Babylon was brought down, but also established through God's decree the release of the Israelites to build the second temple, and the similarities of the power structures of Babylon falling, and the similarities today of the power structures in America falling, whether it's in the entertainment industry from Hollywood to the NFL to the DNC and the political establishments to the mainstream media. You can even extend it to, you know, charitable organizations like the Red Cross have been shown how ineffective and corrupt they are.
You know, Joe, Brother Perez joined us last on February 17th of 2017. The title of that show for our listeners and viewers who may want to go back and review it, and I recommend you do. Joe, I remember he was on fire that night. I mean, he was really dropping the hammer on the anvil, and that's one of the things we love about Augusto Perez. But the title of that was Trump's Tumultuous... it's a little bit of a tongue twister, and I'm known for those. Trump's Tumultuous First 100, and that was Dr. Ted Brower as well as Augusto Perez. Augusto, welcome back, brother.
Good to be with you.
Well, we ended the last segment talking about, you know, the similarities between Cyrus and Trump and the fall of Babylon and the fall of the institutions of power here in America. Well, where do you want to pick up, Augusto, in the second hour?
Well, one of the things that I need to share to the people, okay, because like I said at the beginning of the program, when there is confusion, okay, or there is doubt about where we are or what we are dealing with, you see, if people do not understand the moment that we are living in, and who this man is, and the fact that what happened last November in the elections was divine intervention. A divine intervention of the Lord, not because this country deserved it, not because of that we are very good people. No, it happened because of the prayers of the saints. There was a lot of prayer going on, a lot of crying and supplications, a lot of tears, a lot of repentance, and a lot of fasting going on. The Lord always recognizes these things. He will not turn a blind eye to these things from His people. And so His people knew that this was it. This was the last chance. Because if Hillary Clinton would have gotten in there, I mean, we've been talking about Mystery Babylon. What would have happened to Mystery Babylon if a prototype of Jezebel would have gotten in? I mean, I don't even want to go there. But this is what we were dealing with. And so the people cried unto the Lord, and the Lord delivered them out of the hand of Jezebel. And for what Babylon could have, this nation could have really become the habitation of unclean birds, just like it says in the book of Revelation. And he was heading there, and you know, it's still trying to go there, but this man, because of this man Cyrus, who in the book of Daniel, okay, he talks about in Daniel chapter 6 verse 28, he says that Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. In other words, it went well for Daniel and his people. It went well for the children of Israel under the kingdom of Cyrus, under the rulership of Cyrus. It went well for them, okay? Regardless of what anybody thought about Cyrus back then, the man did good to God's people. And this is what a lot of people don't understand, Joe and John. They don't understand. They cannot separate things. They just cannot see the trees, in the forest. They just cannot separate the two. They just cannot separate the fact that God can use a man, even if he is not the prototype of Christianity and, a biblical man or godly man. They don't understand that God can use anyone he wants. He can use a donkey if he wants to. And he chose to use this man. Now, this man is trying to overturn Roe versus Wade. I don't know if you guys saw what he just said recently, but he made a statement, very profound statement, if you ask me, saying that a life begins at conception. And that to me is a mouthful. That is something that very few presidents dared to say. Not even Bush said that. And, Bush, passed a law that restricted abortion, no abortion, after a certain amount of time and that sort of thing. So, he at least put the brakes on, but he never went as far as I know, to say that it begins at conception, and if you take the life of a baby in the womb, okay, right after it is conceived, that is murder. And so what we're looking at here is the possibility, the very strong possibility, that there may be one or two more justices in the Supreme Court, okay, that will be put in by Mr. Trump and will be able to overturn Roe versus Wade. And you are already seeing how these things are changing. The gangs and the gangsters are being apprehended. The Muslims, terrorists, are not being allowed to come in. Now, how can anyone in the right mind see these things happening and still think that this man does not mean well for Christians? I mean,
well, Brother Perez, I just want to jump in here quickly because you wrote so in such a prescient manner about this. And again, visit theappearance.com, listeners and viewers, if you have not done so already, and bookmark it. We use it at Hagman Report very often. And Joe, I don't know about you, but I've gone to that website for years.
Oh yeah,
but Brother Perez, bear with me while I reflect some of your writing back to you, and I'll be brief. But I think this is so pertinent to what you are suggesting tonight, and I'm not sure when you wrote this, but I'll go quickly. Augusto Perez writes: "The reign of the Spirit has fallen at different times, intermittently, until now, but the Lord reserved the best wine for last. More people. Now, this is the key." More people have been saved and converted to Christianity in the last decade than in the previous 2,000 years combined. A church within a church is rising up, a remnant group of believers that were hidden for a season while they were being trained and tested in the fires of affliction. I wonder if that sounds familiar to anyone listening tonight. These dread warriors will make the powers of darkness tremble, turning the world upside down as the harvest of souls take place. Brother Perez, you've spent a lot of time in Latin America, and I'm just literally blown back in my chair with what you wrote, particularly, more people have been saved and converted to Christianity in the last decade than in the previous 2,000 years combined. Augusto Perez, how does that tie into what you told us about in Daniel chapter 6 overall?
Well, I believe that it ties in basically in the sense that God needs to bring in the harvest. How was the Lord going to bring in the harvest in this end time? Okay, I'm finished doing this, which is at the heart of heaven, really, bring in the harvest. If America would have been taken completely, okay, run over by these devils, That would have been out the window, and you know that, I know that, and we all know that, then they don't understand it. And so, in the heart of God, the most important thing there is, okay, It's not about judging and destroying the wicked, although that is part of his... He will destroy the wicked, trust me. The time will come when he will destroy the wicked and everything that is ungodly. He will do that, okay? But the most important thing right now in his agenda is not destroying the wicked and all these things. There is a time for that. To everything there is a season. And what he wants to do in this season is bring in the harvest. And in order to bring in the harvest, he needed to hold back the forces of evil and darkness in this country so that his people could do the work. And this is where Cyrus comes in. This is where President Trump comes in. He comes in basically, and if you will, he puts the wall up and, you know, the ungodliness, okay, the wave of filth and ungodliness cannot continue. It stopped for the moment. Now, how long will this be? I don't know. But I do know one thing, and that is that we have been given a time and a season for this to happen, to bring in the harvest. And we, as a matter of fact, one of the things that that the Lord spoke to me, okay, back in earlier this year, in the month of August 12th of this year, in the middle of a night, he spoke to me, and he says, heaven needs trainers. Why need trainers for the great harvest about to take place? So not only does he need workers now he needs trainers, which I had never heard the Lord put it that way before. I always knew that he needed workers. Jesus said, pray that the Lord of the harvest sends forth laborers into the field. But I have never heard the Lord say, I need trainers, and that tells me that the need is so great that we need to, we need trainers that can train others to go out and bring in the harvest. And there is an urgency in heaven for this, because darkness is approaching. All these prophecies, okay? Let me share something about this real quick, Joe and John, that will tie into all these things that we've been talking about. And this, what I'm about to say, is very important. Very, very important. And what you mentioned, what you read, John, I wrote that a few years ago, and I still believe it goes. I did a teaching series on the Melchizedek priesthood. I had an experience a few years when I was in Ecuador, and in the middle of the night, I saw the Lord Jesus Christ and dressed in his Melchizedek priesthood, okay? And at that night, he gave basically an invitation for the Melchizedek priesthood. Now, I'm not going to get into that because that's a big old teaching. I have done a lot of teaching on that, and I cannot possibly cover that material in the short time that we have tonight. But basically what I'm saying is, I said that to say this, that the Lord is really, really wanting to raise up a Melchizedek priesthood, a group of people, a group of believers and Christians. I'm not talking about super evangelists or super prophets or apostles or whatever. No, I'm not talking about these people that are stars and TV and TBN and on and on and all these other TV stations. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people, just normal people that love God with all their heart, that are sold out, lock, stock, and barrel, and want to follow Jesus wherever he leads. And these are the people that he is going to raise up. These are just normal people. And, you know, people that if we were to know their names, we don't know them. We don't know who they are. And so this is what the Lord is doing. But in order to do that, he had to bring in someone to stop, if you will, the onslaught, and to, if you will, bring about a sense of protection of his chosen ones. Because if the devil would have had his way, he would have destroyed the chosen seed of God, those that he has been training in secret for years, that the devil would have destroyed them. He would have thrown them in FEMA camps. He would have killed them. You know all that. And that was the plan. That was the plan. And
Okay, let me, bear with me here. I'm catching up with you, Brother Perez. So Trump, President Trump, I'm trying to break the habit of calling him Trump. He is President Trump. Trump is a blessing to us from the Lord. I'll just state my opinion. I don't look at our country today and particularly think we deserved President Trump. What we probably deserve based on our actions, and you can start with abortion, is Hillary Clinton for president. That's probably what this nation, that has so many reprobate souls in it at this time deserves. But if I'm hearing you correctly, Brother Perez, Trump was a blessing from the Lord, but you just said that now it's time to raise up people that heretofore their names are unknown to us. So my hope is that tonight we've got you for about a segment and a half here. How do we identify these people? You're talking to thousands of people, I believe, who are willing to be those people. But I would also suggest that you're talking to thousands of people who don't know how to be those people, Brother Perez.
Well, this is why the Lord raised me up back in 1992. I've never shared that. I may have, I'm not sure, but that is the calling that God gave me back when I was pastoring a church in Miami, Florida. I pastored for 7 years there. We raised up a church, and 1992 I had an experience where I saw the Lord. It was the most beautiful experience. I don't share this often because it is so close to my heart, but he basically called me into this ministry, and he basically told me what I was going to do. And in order to do that, I had to leave all of that. I had to leave the church. I had to leave Miami. I had to leave everything and go to a place that he was going to show me. And basically, in a nutshell, a long story short is, he wanted me to prepare his bride for his coming. And he showed me the condition of the church. The church was corrupted. The church was weak. The church was feeble. The church was contaminated. The church was worldly. In fact, he was not very encouraged with the condition of the church. And so he told me, he said, "You're not the only one that I am raising up to prepare my people." He said, "There are many others I'm placing this call on." Okay? So I didn't understand even back then what that was. But that is where this ministry is, comes in. Which is, you know, preparing the emerging army, releasing the abilities and natural callings of everyone, okay? Preparing the emerging army. The Lord gave me this vision several years ago about, you know, preparing the emerging army. This army that is emerging has to be, first of all, like you said, has to be identified, okay? There are some people that may say, "I believe I'm in that. I believe that. I don't know what it is, but the Lord has called me." There are people that have a feeling, they have a knowing, they have something. They know that God has his hand on them, but they don't know what for. They don't know what to do. They think it's probably to start a church somewhere, you know, like one of these churches in the malls, you know, whatever, do that. They don't know. They don't know what it is that the Lord has called them to do. But the Lord is raising up an army. And then after that army is identified, they have to be trained. They have to be equipped. They have to be then released to fulfill that, what the Lord called them to do. And this is something that is not being done in the churches, is not being done in the seminaries, is not being done in any of these places. And so that is what this is about. Now, the other thing I want to talk about and transition into that is the fact that a lot of the things that like, for example, just to give you one example, there are many prophetic voices out there, okay? Good people, okay? I'm talking about people that really can hear from God, but they have never been trained. They have never been taught, okay, how to you know, how to function, how to flow, how to do these things. And as a result of that, they kind of go around hacking and whacking and, you know, destroying have a group of people before they can heal anybody. And this is a very sad condition. The same can be said for churches and pastors. Just to give you one quick example, for example, okay? There are many out there, well-meaning watchmen, prophetic people. Let's just call them prophetic people. Let's not call them prophets. Prophetic people, watchmen that, let's say, get a dream from God, or they get a vision from God. They get a vision about something bad that is about to happen. Okay? Now, was that from God, or was that not from the Lord? You see, that's the first question. Many of them receive true words from the Lord. They receive true visions and dreams from God. And many of them will say, well, then this was from God. Therefore, if this was from God, it must come to pass. But you see, that is totally wrong. And I'm giving a very important teaching right here, right now, on the air. And many, hopefully many people will be able to grasp this and learn from this, hopefully. Because this is something that the Lord had to teach me, not in a seminary or in a book, but through the years in the wilderness that I had to go through. Okay? He taught this to me himself. And so, one of the things I would say to those people out there, you are prophetic, okay? You can hear from the Lord and you see something, a dream or a vision, and you automatically say, okay, God gave me a dream, therefore this is going to happen. I mean, something bad, whatever. There's going to be people are going to be killed. There's going to be a terrorist going to come in and destroy. Well, here's the point. Here's the important point about this. 99%, I would probably say 99% of the visions and dreams that people receive from God, okay? I'm talking about from God, not because people can receive dreams and visions from the second heaven, which is the plans of the devil for the people, or the plans of the devil for a city, or the plans of the devil for a country. Those dreams is what I called second heaven experience, which the person, the prophetic person, you see, prophetic people are like antennas. The people that have been endowed by God, because this is a gift. It's not something that we deserve or we earn. He gives it to his people. When God gives a prophetic gift into an individual, that person has, if you will, the hardware to be able to tap into, okay, waves, okay, if you will, signals coming in from heaven, but they can also tap into signals coming in from the second heaven, which is the realm of the demonic, the realm. Sometimes people can tap into that and think automatically that it is the Lord. It is from God. When it is not from God, they just tap into the plans of the enemy to do something wicked and evil, and they think it is from God. Therefore, they think it is something that surely must come to pass. So they come into agreement with that a terrible dream that they had from, you know, plans of the enemy. They come into agreement with that, and they literally give it life. They breathe life into it, if you will, by declaring it, by confessing it, and by saying this is going to happen. So basically, they come into agreement with plans of the enemy. Oh, Brother Perez, no, what I got was from God. Okay, let's say that what you got was from the Lord and not from the second heaven, okay? Let's just assume that. If God shows you something bad like that, that is going to take place, your son is going to die, or your uncle is going to pass away, or something horrible is going to take place in your city, or somewhere else. When the Lord shows you, and you know, I'm saying the Lord, we are sure now, we are given the benefit of the doubt and say this is from the Lord. if the Lord shows something like that to a prophetic person, to a watchman, a watchwoman, that does not mean that is his will. Let me repeat that. If a person receives a dream or a vision of some horrific thing that is, you know, could take place, and they shown this is going to take place, that does not automatically mean that this is God's will and God is about to judge something or someone. This is not, you know, I would say 98% of the time, basically it is the Lord showing people stuff that the enemy is planning on doing. And he is showing these things to his people so that they can stand up, raise up a standard against it, and pray against it, and do something to stop it. And this is where the church is missing it. The majority of believers don't understand what to do with a dream or a vision. They think that, you know, if God showed me something, it must be from God, and therefore no one can stop it. Not true. There are things that maybe 1 or 2%, there are things that will happen no matter what. That is, thus saith the Lord. But that is a very small portion of things that people receive from the spirit realm. Remember that we're talking about believers, you know, prophetic people, watchmen. They have equipment. They have, if you will, spiritual equipment, hardware, that they are able to tap into these things, and they can receive sensory, okay, spiritual sensory information from the second heaven or the third heaven. But it is what we do with that information, really, that is going amiss. Many times people receive a true message from the Lord. And number one, they misinterpret it. They misinterpret it because the message was genuine, but the interpretation was not. It was flawed. And therefore, that is the first way to miss something from God, is by getting the wrong interpretation. It's interpreted wrong. That is where the majority of the problems arise, from faulty interpretation. Wrong interpretation, okay? Secondly, where mistakes are made a lot is people assuming, prophetic people, watchmen, watchwomen, assuming that just because you receive a dream, okay, that maybe it was from God. If it was from God, okay, let's assume it was from God, and you're sure it was from the Lord, that you assume then, number two, that this is something that surely must happen because the Lord showed it to you. And you don't understand that many times the Lord shows us things so that we can pray against those things, so that those things do not come to pass, that is the plan of the enemy. And so this is where I am seeing a lot of problems. And as long as there are watchmen and prophetic people out there that believe like that, they're never going to pray against it. And therefore they come into agreement with the plans of the devil, either whether they pick it up from the second heaven or they are revealed to them by the Most High Lord. You know, they agree with it, they come into agreement with it and believe that that is what is going to happen, and there's nobody that can stop it, and therefore nothing happens. No prayer goes up, nobody does intercessory prayer, and because basically people do not understand what prayer is. And that is the beginning of the problem right there. Prayer. God has given us this incredible blessing, incredible privilege called prayer, to participate with the Creator of the universe, with the King of Glory, okay, in basically bringing His will manifested here on the earth. And that is what prayer is. If you look at the prayer model that Jesus Christ taught His disciples, He said, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. What is the will of the Father? To bring his kingdom down here to his earth. Where is there abortion in the kingdom of heaven? No. Is there murder in the kingdom of heaven? No. Is there ISIS beheading people in the streets in the kingdom of heaven? No. Is there corruption in people, okay, and in Hollywood and pedophiles in heaven? No. Thy kingdom come here on the earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. That is the will of the Father. And if we don't understand that, how are we going to pray like that? How are we going to stop this filth and this onslaught, this wave of filth? How are we going to fight against it if we don't even know what we're supposed to be praying? Okay? So, and then if you continue in the prayer, thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is God's will on earth for these horrific things to be happening? Of course not. So what is God's will? God's will, he wants to do his will on the earth as it is in heaven. So how do we do this, Brother Augusto? Well, we have to pray. That's why Jesus taught his disciples, pray like this. This is a model. Pray like this. If God's will always is done on the earth, why would he tell his disciples to pray that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven? If it is automatically done, you see? So this is a doctrinal error that has to be eradicated. This is a mindset. This is a stronghold, if you will, that is stopping God's people from going forward, from being what God intended them to be. And, they continue to allow these horrible things to happen around them because we're not praying against them.
Exactly, things, Brother Perez, I'm sorry.
These things can be averted, Brother John and Brother Joe.
And exactly, and I want to pause you on that word stronghold. There are two things that have been heavy on my heart and mind lately, Brother Augusto. And I think they go hand in hand. One is probably a fairly short answer. The other one may be a little more involved. First of all, I sense over the past, I'm going to say 3 or 4 years, that this term watchman is being bandied around far too much. And it seems to have become an in vogue, title, in our community, if you will, in the community of remnant believers. Everything from remnant believers to the liberty movement to patriots, to be a watchman, you know, a watchman on the wall. It even sounds cool. And the other thing that concerns me, and I think, again, the two sort of tie in, you use the word stronghold. I speak with and interview and meet so many people week in and week out. I read their work. We consider them as guests on the show, etc., who don't realize it, but they are spending 90% of their time chasing Satan. They are spending 90% of their time parsing through and reviewing the handicraft of the enemy, and maybe 10% of their time chasing Jesus. Now, how on earth are we going to correct any of this with that model, Brother Perez? What do you think?
Well, exactly. That's exactly my point. It cannot be. It cannot be corrected with that model, because of the mindset. See, a mindset is basically a belief system that has been crystallized in the minds of people throughout the years, through things they have learned in college, or things they have learned in Bible school, things they have learned in Sunday school, things they learned from their pastor, and things that they heard, and things that they read in the book. And so all this conglomerate, they didn't check it. They didn't check it to make sure it was biblical, or maybe, you know, they just, it felt good, it sounded good, and they accepted it, and therefore now it has become a part of that. And that is a mindset. And one of the things that Lord had to do with me was break the mindset that I had of all these religious ideas. I had so many religious ideas that were not rooted in the Word of God. They had no foundation in the Word of God. And so, because I had believed them, because good people had taught them to me. Good men pastors that had, that were good people, that I loved, that I respected. So I, you know, I just accepted it, embraced it, and became a mindset. But these mindsets have to be demolished if we are going to go forward. And I know that may sound like a cliche, but trust me, it is much more than a cliche. And, you know, one of the things that the Lord showed me, was that in order for me to be able to receive from the Holy Spirit, I had to become like a little child. And the scripture that comes to mind is Luke 10:21, when it says, "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, 'I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight.'" And the Lord had to show me that if I wanted to receive fresh manna of revelation from Him, I had to become like a little child. I had to get rid of all these airs of, you know, of that I knew better, or I thought I learned this. And, you know, whenever a person gets to that point where they don't think that they can learn anything from anyone, or anyone can give them an advice because they know better, the moment we get to that point, that is the point where people stop growing and they start drying up. They start basically drying in the vine. And they may think that they are growing, but they're not. Because the only way to grow and to receive, to continue to receive from the Holy Spirit, is to remain as a little child. And, you know, many times I wonder, Father, how come that, you know, all of these other people, that so many out there, they can't see this thing. It's so clear. It's so evident. It's so easy to understand. How come they can't see it? And that is one, and the main answer really is because you have to become as a little child. You know how little children are? They are so humble, and they are so, they believe things. They don't have this attitude, you know, a cynical attitude, or, you know, that they doubt everything, and they try to you know, find the angle, you know, to see if they can win the argument. You know, that is a manipulative mind, a manipulative person. That will not work with God. With the Lord, we have to become like a little child, you know, just sit here and just teach me, just feed me, Lord, like a little lamb. Just show me. And so this is the reason why these things are not happening. But the problem here and the danger is, Joe and John, that we are running out of time. And like I said in my last newsletter, I believe we had a shift in time. That means that there was a timeline that we were going by, okay, and it was not going to end up good, like we already shared first part of this program. And the Lord had to shift the timeline, and basically it's a funny sounding word, you know, shifting the timeline. Basically, the Bible talks about shifting the timeline all the time, except it may not call it shifting time. Basically, it's a divine intervention. Okay, but it's the same thing. Whenever there is a divine intervention by the Most High in heaven upon the earth, it's what we call a miracle. A miracle is a divine intervention of God on the earth that stops the normal flow of things and brings about impossible things that normally would not have happened. And therefore, there is a shift. And the events that were supposed to happen, it doesn't happen. This is what a lot of people do not understand. And we can apply this to what I was sharing before about the dreams and visions. See? People don't understand this. That the Almighty dwells in a dimensionless time zone. There is no past, present, and future. Okay? There is no past, present, and future in heaven. Therefore, in the prophetic realm, okay, and again, I'm teaching out there, so you guys that are in the prophetic, that you're learning, you know you have a prophetic anointing, listen up and take notes. When you are in the prophetic realm, there is no time there. That is why it is very, very difficult, extremely, extremely difficult, almost impossible to predict a certain time that something is going to happen in the spirit. Because when we are in the spirit, there is no time. So how can we know that something is going to happen in a certain time when, you know, we are in a dimension, in a timeless dimension? That is why when people go to heaven and they have experiences in heaven, they spend what seems an eternity there, okay? And when they come back to earth, it's just, what, like an hour? And vice versa. Because there's no time in heaven. And so that is the first thing. That is the first thing. The second thing is that when people receive a vision or a dream, okay, and they see something happening, okay, that again is something that is in the sphere, okay, in the sphere and that dimension, and it is there for, you know, and it could become a part of a timeline, if you will. It could come to pass. It could happen. Okay? It doesn't mean it will happen. It could happen. Okay? And so if we sit automatically on our hands, and we sit and say, well, so-and-so had a dream and a vision that this is going to happen, and so-and-so had a dream that this is going to happen, so it must happen. It certainly will happen. Well, that is not true. Those are warning, if you will, signs from heaven telling us, hey, wake up. These things are coming down the pike. They could happen. It could become a reality if you don't wake up, smell the coffee, and, you know, get on your praying gear and pray and repent and bombard heaven and bring God's will on the earth as it is in heaven and bring the kingdom of God down on the earth, and then those things will not materialize, at least for a while. Not right now, as we were shown. It may happen further down in the timeline. You know, I could give you many examples. King Hezekiah. I could give you Nineveh. I mean, on and on, the Bible is full of stories like that where these things happen. And so we need to understand these things or we are not going to be successful. Right now there is a battle raging in the spirit realm regarding President Trump and the powers of darkness. This man is literally fighting barehandedly, okay, or I should say single-handedly, against the deep state, the witches, the warlocks, the Satanists, okay, the Democrats, the leftists, the Muslims, the terrorists, and even many of the Republicans who are part of the thing. And how can any Christian say that this guy is part of it? How can he be fighting against himself, Jesus himself? I mean, the people in the days of Messiah, they made the same mistakes. They were talking the same lingo. They kept telling him, well, you know, you are Beelzebub. You are, you know, they were accusing him of being the devil. And Jesus had to say, you don't know what you're saying. How can I, okay, be the devil, and how can I be tearing down the works of darkness? A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And this is something so simple and so powerful and so beautifully wise that came from the lips of the Master, you know? And yet most people today cannot understand this thing. If this guy, okay, if Donald Trump, President Trump, were of the devil and he was really trying to, if you will, destroy the Christians, why would he be fighting the very things that the other devils did to destroy us? You see, he would be fighting himself. And Jesus, he solved that riddle real fast, real quick, by saying the kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Now, I mean, I am a very simple person, Joe and John, and, you know, maybe this is why the Lord reveals these things to me, because I don't do mental gymnastics and, you know, all that other stuff. I am very, 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 very down to earth, very plain, and I humble myself before the Lord, and He shows me things, and I see it so clearly, so clearly. And I don't understand how people can have problems seeing this, because it's so clear. People are, you know, doing mental gymnastics, you know, with conspiracy theories and this and that, double-minded thinking. All the time, the enemy is gaining advantage. And if we lose this opportunity and we do not uphold this man, whatever you may think of him, Donald Trump, President Trump, if we do not uphold this man that God has put in there, He has given us to safeguard us for a season so that we can do, so that He can do through us what He wants to do, if this is gone, if they take him out, if they manage to undo him and remove him, we are not going to be good. We are going to be in a pickle. And not only are we going to be in a pickle, the Lord is going to be very upset and mad at us for not taking advantage of something that all of us should have seen, and we should all be working together to make this work.
And Augusto, you really that was a great rant. I don't know that you wanted to be a rant more so than a teaching, but I want to ask you a question. As we continue to move forward in this prophetic calendar, as we continue to see things changing, do you believe that these dreams and visions will continue to increase, both for deceptive purposes and the Lord giving this information to His chosen?
Well, I think it's going to increase. I believe that those that are open to it will receive it. Those that are not open to it will not receive it. It's like everything in life. And, you know, I will continue to teach. And, you know, sometimes I get carried away by my passion, because I feel very strongly about this. But I gave a lot of nuggets out there. I gave a lot of nuggets out there to people to grasp it, even in the middle of a rant. But this thing is not going to go very well unless people understand the times that we are in. And I would suggest this. And if you really want to receive from the Lord, okay, you need to humble yourself. You need to humble yourself. And become very, very humble, and not be arrogant. Be teachable, okay? Because the moment there's a lot of this going on around, and this is why the condition of the church that it is in, that is that people don't think that they need to learn anything. They know everything. And mm-hmm. I know, because I used to be like that. I used to be like that many years ago. And the Lord had to throw me down from my horse, okay? So I know what it is to be humbled. And many people will be humbled. And they are being humbled. But there's much more to come.
Very interesting, Augusto. And we got about 6 or 7 minutes left in this hour. And many people, you know, after, I don't know, maybe it wasn't the last time you were on the show. Maybe the time before. This was about a year and a half ago. We had you on the show, and a listener sent me a number of your books and explained to me how you had a five-fold ministry. And I, being, you know, a Christian my whole life and not really understanding all the I didn't know what a five-fold ministry was. And I read your books, and I read what he sent me, and it was a beautiful, you know, 2 or 3 page letter explaining your history and everything that you've been doing and working on. And, you know, it really opened my eyes to some things. And would you be open to, I mean, say people are have experienced, you know, a vision or dreams that they believe are given to them from the Lord. How would they go about, you know, seeking guidance to make sure that they're properly, you know, discerning properly? What would your advice to that be?
Well, we in one of our books, we teach on that, a whole chapter on dreams and visions. They could maybe get that. Or we also have a program on Tuesdays where people write in, and they many times send in a dream that they may have had or a vision, asking maybe for help. If it is from the Lord, if it's not, if it's a sweet potato dream or what I call an internal dream, I usually mention that to them. I said, no, this is an internal dream. It is for you. Also, what could be a purging dreams. Not every dream is from God. It's a message from God. There are many, okay, many dreams that are just purging dreams, which means we go to sleep at night, and that is when the Lord, okay, designed us so that our subconscious mind, basically, it's purged of all these, things that are not good for us, things that, are offensive to us or are harmful to us, things that, you know, traumatic things that we have, gone through. And so these things begin to be purged. And so our mind has a way of, our subconscious mind has a way of making everything like a movie. Okay? It's like a producer. We are the producer. Our mind is the producer. And so it chooses, people or certain personalities to represent certain emotions and certain things. Sometimes it may even be animals. I explain that in the book. And so many times these things that people dream is just that, purging dreams. And many times people misinterpret it and think that it is a message from God, and there's no message there at all. When it is a message from the Lord, there is a definite presence of God. And there is definitely a confirmation, and there is a clarity, and there is a presence about it. And you'll know it. But the majority of the dreams are not messages from God. And this is one of the first things people need to understand, sort of kind of separating the chaff from the wheat. You know, just you dream something, oh, no, that was not from God. This is just, purging dreams, or this is maybe the Lord dealing with me about maybe my character issues, maybe fear. People have issues with fear. Or people have issues with pride, or all kinds of things. And because of the lack of ability to interpret these things, they immediately think it is a message from God, when in fact there is no message from God at all. It's just a dream, purging dreams, internal dreams. And every once in a while, you may have a word from the Lord or a message from the Lord. Now, all of those internal dreams, they're not all bad. Many times the Lord may give you a dream, an internal dream, basically telling you, showing you what to do in a certain situation that you're facing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So some people misinterpret that and think that is God's answer to a problem affecting the whole nation or the whole world, when in fact it is just for them.
Very interesting. Augusto Perez is our guest. The website, theappearance.com, is the website. I would urge everybody to go there and bookmark that. Augusto, last question for you. Any upcoming conferences, appearances, anything that you have that you want to promote before we let you go?
Well, we haven't done a conference this year. I have been convalescing from my back. I have some issues with my back, but I'm doing better, but I've been convalescing. But I would just, we may have something soon. We may have something sometime soon if the Lord wills. I would say that right now the number one thing we need to focus on is the this next few weeks is we need to pray. You need to really pray like probably never you prayed before, asking the Lord to show you, okay, these things that I just talked to you about, okay, to show you these things. And how can you be a part of this end time harvest? I think that is probably the number one thing. And by the way, when we do these conferences, that is one of the things that we emphasize, is that we train. We do a lot of training. We do a lot of in-house training, workshops. Like, for example, one time we brought up a person that was sick, had a pain and whatever in the body, and we just allowed someone else to go and pray for that person. We teach them how to pray for the sick. We teach them how to how to witness. We teach them how to become better leaders. We teach them how to even sometimes we do the deliverance workshops, where we teach them how to deal with somebody that needs deliverance. And so all these things we do, and then we give them the opportunity to ask questions. And by the way, there in that program we have also on Tuesdays, we allow questions. Like if you have questions about these things we shared about tonight, we answer those questions. Okay? So, just write us, and ask the question. There's no, you don't have to subscribe to anything or become a part of anything if you have a question. And so, you can subscribe to a newsletter, but you don't have to. Okay? So, these are just a lot of the things. Build up the body of Christ, because that's what the Lord called me to do.
Brother Augusto Perez has been our guest this hour, and I just want to personally thank you, Brother Augusto, for the many years that you've enabled me to better invite the Holy Spirit into my life. And I also want to tell you, sir, that we have an interactive chat on YouTube that's going absolutely bonkers right now, thanking you, blessing you, saying they love you, inviting you to come back soon. And I hope, Brother Perez, that you will come back and join us soon.
Absolutely. Just let me know with a little time in advance, and I will very much enjoy coming back.
Well, we'd love to have you, Joe.
Thanks, Augusto. You have a great night. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.